Hey, Danger Danger is here with a special Halloween announcement. Part one of our Patreon-exclusive Halloween bonus content will be premiering Wednesday, October 16th. Stick around to the end of the episode after the credits and blooper for a sneak preview of that. Remember, you can access any of our bonus content by signing up on Patreon for just $5 a month, or by volunteering as an episode transcript and wiki writer. Shoot an email to dndarkpodcast@gmail.com for more info on that. That's all for now. Enjoy the show.
Do you like D&D, improv, and a podcast where the DM can't control the player's intrusive thoughts? Well, then Flip of Fate is what you're looking for. This loosely D&D podcast is about four misfits being roped in on an adventure by a wealthy centaur wizard. We also have a three-part Halloween special out now set in the modern world about four teens caught up in a small-town horror. We played that one shot in a simplified D&D system close to the Call of Cthulhu system. Now in our main campaign, we play in D&D 5e. And if you're looking for some nitty-gritty D&D and advanced rule following, you won't find it here. We're just five close friends that enjoy improv and D&D with some chaos mixed in there. So come and check us out. You can find us anywhere you listen to podcasts at Flip of Fate. You can also find us on all socials, so stop by and say hi. Again, find us and listen to us at Flip of Fate. Thank you, and enjoy the rest of your show.
D&D Dark is an absurd, over-the-top comedy horror adventure that is intended for older audiences. Content warnings can be found in the episode descriptions.
Hello and welcome to D&D Dark, a comedy horror adventure real play podcast loosely based on Dungeons & Dragons 5th edition and starring some of history's most infamous monsters. I'm Danger Dangers, and I'm your host slash Crypt Keeper.
Before I start with my recap, hello, my name is Daniel Cruz. I'm a little bit sick this week, so you might hear my voice sound a little bit different than usual, and my energy might not be as high, but I'm going to make this the best session I possibly can. That being said,
we appreciate it. You're a trooper.
Hello, my name is Daniel Cruz. I play Imhotep the Mummy, our cleric in hell. Almost out of hell. We got one sprint. We just pushing through the pebble at this point, and we just got to get that pebble all the way out, and we are done. I'm so ready to join the rest of this team because last session, I played Imhotep, who wasn't Imhotep, and not Imhotep, did horrible things, and I feel bad, and I need to fix them. Oh my god.
We have thrown so much at you, and you have constantly delivered, so real props to you for making fake Imhotep such a threatening presence.
Absolutely. Oh, he's so good. We're so good.
So with that, let's bust you out of hell.
Please.
So, in Nessus, as Imhotep rematerializes, spawning in front of the throne of Asmodeus, you notice immediately something that, whether or not it's unsettling, is entirely up to you, but Asmodeus is sitting forward, and he looks a little more eager and enthusiastic than you've seen him the entire time that you've been down here. And you catch a little glint of excitement.
What's got your tail in a twist?
The fact that you are so close. All you need is the signature of Zarya, and you can go free. I don't know how much you believe that I have been rooting for you this entire time, but I genuinely want to see you succeed. And you are so very, very close now. So I want you to stand firm, to buckle down, don't let anyone stop you, and make this one last trip through your victory lap.
Why are you so interested in my escape? Was it not your duty to punish those down here?
To a certain extent, but things get a bit monotonous down here. And this is truly uncharted territory. You will be entering a bit of an experiment that I've been running. So I want to see it to completion. And I am very curious about what will happen when you cross that finish line.
He kind of scoops the rock up, drops it into his bag. I will give you the satisfaction of seeing me cross this finish line. And then, if I am so lucky, I will never see you or your kind ever again.
Before you leave, a little parting gift to help smooth over some loose ends. A little bit of information to appease Balzazul. Back when I last disappeared, it's because I was summoned to the Celestial Plane. Because Hell was beginning to win the Blood War. And I don't know if you know about the scales of balance. You are a religious man, after all. But the heavenly bodies that rule up above go out of their way to ensure that this war never ends and the fighting never stops. So because I was beginning to succeed, I was taken off the playing field for a bit of a grand reset. I trust that that information will square away any dealings you might have had with the Lord of Maladomini.
Damn, that's information for two campaigns there, holy shit. Oh god. He kind of nods and says, I can only imagine the strain that would put on other planes should you have won. I do not think it is... talk about sympathies for the devil. I do not think it is fair to you, but from a practical standpoint, I understand.
I do not think it is fair to me either, but it is the hand that I am dealt. Either way, I look forward to seeing you in Avernus to send you off back to the material plane.
I look forward to it as well. And he heel spin and starts jogging.
All right, so sprinting, jogging, at whatever pace is most sustainable for you.
It is a long trek. He's not going to be super sprinting.
Mm-hmm. It's a marathon and it's all uphill.
Marathoning, montaging your way out of Nessus, up the rope walkways, into the storm-swept lands of Cania, you make your way back into the laboratory of Mephistopheles. And I will tag you in, Jordan.
You find that it is oddly empty in here. Mephistopheles isn't around. There is a surprising lack of little cat wisps flittering about. But you do see Chansey. And Chansey comes like, hello! How you doing?
Hello, Chansey. Was there a run on catnip?
The great Lord Mephistopheles had to be called away for something, which is strange. But, you know, this doesn't happen often, and you've been just such a good sport about everything. You haven't tried to hit us or make fun of us, and you've been kind of funny jumping into the source of magic and all that. And I just wanted to say that I really appreciated your company all these times. I know this is probably one of your last laps. So since the big cat's away, so to say, I wanted to give you this. I found it in one of our discard piles, but I think you might be able to make some use of it. And Chansey hands you over a scroll.
Jordan, do you have the mechanical description of the scroll, or do you want me to hit that?
Can you?
Sure. So this is a scroll of emergency phase shift. So what the spell on this scroll details is, as a reaction to taking damage equal to or greater than your max hit points, you will be shifted out of phase for 6 seconds, becoming intangible and avoiding the damage, taking 0 hit points instead of what would otherwise be an instantly lethal hit.
Just wanted to make sure I wrap my head around this. Should I take a fatal hit, I will instead become intangible for effectively one turn.
Yes. This is basically insta-kill insurance.
Yeah, you seem to have a pretty big problem of dying a lot, so I thought that might be helpful for you. And you know what? If you get out of here before the big boss comes back in, it's like you were never here. I won't tell nobody.
He kind of looks at the scroll, the corner of his lip kind of lifts up a little bit, puts it into his bag, looks around to see if there's nobody else there, and he kind of leans down and he kind of pets Chansey.
Aww. You hear some, like, purrs, but more akin to gurgles.
Or like a pug noises.
Yeah.
Oh, that is delightfully disgusting. Take care, Chansey. I hope you find whatever magical bizarreness you and your kind are looking for.
It's been a pleasure working with you, and he gives you a salute. But as Chansey sends you off on your way, you feel fresh air start to hit you. Air that you haven't breathed since you were back on the material plane. And you see this bright light as this rift opens behind you. And in swashes Mephistopheles in this big, just elaborate robe sweeped around them. And in floods the rest of the cats. And Mephistopheles sees you, sees that you have a scroll, see that you have one of his scrolls. And you see Chansey freeze up and then particle by particle start to disintegrate. And you can feel that this isn't a normal death for these imps. Chansey is being destroyed at an energy level and being completely wiped from existence. And you feel the swathing robes of the air breezing past of Mephistopheles start to chase closer and closer towards you as you feel Chansey just into mist. And the last thing you hear from that little poof of dust is, "Run." And Mephistopheles starts tearing towards you. The runes start shooting up from the floor and they start to try and like sweep and grab around you and stop you.
I'm gonna stuff the scroll in my bag and
As Mephistopheles begins to tear towards you and the portal is starting to close behind him, from out of the portal, more abyssal tears begin to leak through. And as he is reaching his way towards you, he sees these tears in the abyss beginning to follow after him, pivots around, and turns his attention on sealing them up, giving you a window to sprint for it.
That's exactly what he's gonna do. He's gonna hightail it the fuck out.
And the last thing you hear as you run out of Cania, as the doors close behind you, is just a loud, cacophonous, just...
just a huge evil cat meow.
Yeah, yeah.
As soon as he's out, he kind of has to take a moment. Like, once he knows he's clear, this is a weird thing to say for an imp, he is going to stop and pray for Chansey.
Aww.
Was a greasy, slimy little creature of the hells, but he did me no harm and did not deserve what came to him.
Inspiration.
Absolutely.
On a knee, hand clasped around his water, eyes closed, just praying for this poor little cat.
And you see, for just a brief second, some little flickers of light kind of go past your eye.
But with that, he gets back up and keeps moving.
Excellent.
All right, so traversing out of the storms of Cania into the cave system through the metropolis, leading to the almost shrine-like mecca of Balzabul, you find yourself again in front of the Lord of Flies.
You see kind of a direct counter to Asmodeus. Balzabul is like pacing. They're so nervous. They're like frantic. And then as soon as you catch the corner of their eye, they're like,
"Lost soul! Just the energy I wanted to see. Obviously, you can tell things are a bit different now."
I understand things have changed somewhere. The cat was away.
It's not any of that. That's not of any concern to me. It's Asmodeus. He's excited about something. Asmodeus doesn't get excited about things. I fear, meaning at my other wars, I misunderstood your little trial. I feel like this is the linchpin to a much greater plan that Asmodeus has. I don't know what. And that infuriates me. But I think it should be of the topmost concern of your mind as well, lost soul. Because whatever happens when you pick your boulder out of here, when you reach Avernus, might have cataclysmic ends to your plague that you're hoping to return to as well.
I do not know why he is so giddy, but I definitely did notice it. I can offer you one bit of information that he deemed fit to share with me.
Wait, he gave you information?
Oh, do I tell him that he specifically gave it to me to tell Baldi?
Do you? You see, like, a combination of eagerness and concern, but 100% of Balzabul's focus is on you now.
I told him that the other lords were concerned about his disappearance, and he told me the reason as to why he left.
Balzabul looks at their signature on your boulder, knowing that that was the original deal, was to get that information from you.
Mm-hmm.
Can I have you roll?
No.
No, you don't want to?
No.
Okay. I was going to ask for an insight check on something.
All right. Let me do that. I can do insight.
All right.
This one secret trick that GMs hate.
Just say no.
That is a 28.
Thinking back and remembering your original conversation with Balzabul, their signature hasn't quite settled on your boulder yet, but by giving this specific information, we'll lock your contract into place and Baal cannot touch you, cannot stop you.
And so Imhotep just tells him, he was called to the celestial plane.
He just told you that? He just let you know that where he went? Where he is?
Yeah, pretty much.
And you feel that signature solidify into your boulder.
As soon as it does, he picks the boulder up and just starts idly tossing it into the air, which means I have fulfilled my contract to you. Which means you have nothing more to say to me.
I knew I loved you, lost soul. You haven't been exactly effective, but you've been a lot of fun. So I will give you this last piece of advice as a parting gift. If Asmodeus is so excited for you to complete your boulder trial, if he needs you to cross that finish line with that boulder, that means you will have all the power. You, I see, do not have his signature yet. And that means there is no deal between you two. Do not squander it. Negotiate till you see the fear in his eyes. And if you don't, I might not have control over you anymore, lost soul, and that is really sad for me. But, as you know now, Asmodeus was away, and I am also the keeper of the archives of contracts of devil's bargains. If you do not make Asmodeus squirm, what's stopping me from adjusting the deals over some of your friends? I can write a little addendum into their bargains, making that deal so much worse for them. But if you do manage to make Asmodeus give us something valuable, something that really means something to him, then I will also give you the powers to negotiate with me about their bargains. I hope that's understood.
He kind of rolls the boulder in his hand. I understand. He did seem very excited for something to come of this. And you're right, I do believe I have some say in how this goes. Well, if I stay here, then there is nothing that I can do in Avernus with him, so I will take my leave.
Yes. If I can't stop you, I doubt any of the other double lords can. So all I ask, not for the good of us, but for the good of you and the good of your friends on mortal planes, make sure you know exactly what you're signing up for.
He nods again, and as he steps out of Maladomini, right before the door is closed, he goes, "Oh, by the way, he was called away because..."
Excellent. And then you make your way out of the cave system of Maladomini, up through the scaffolding that leads to the cliffside lava flows of Malbolgi. And as you begin to pass the prison facility, Glacia, through the windows, eyes you and calls you in.
So he makes his way inside, goes into her office.
And sitting behind her desk, with her hands steepled, she eyes you and says,
"Something about this lap through this lair is different. I want to ensure that you've delivered on your end of our bargain. Before I let you go, convince me that you've done an adequate job of turning the other Devil Lords against each other and fanning the flames of dissent."
"Well, with the courts, I made two separate deals with the lords there. One with Fierna, and then one with Belial, specifically to screw over the deal that I made with Fierna. I just won. This pater, who is the one to thank for this," he kind of motions to himself, "happening, has a little friend in his office, courtesy of Mammon."
"I see.
Here's another one." He kind of pulls the rock out and flips it. "Your father is incredibly excited for me to bring this over into the material plane for some reason. I think it's a good bargaining chip, don't you? I can probably make him squirm." Stealing directly from Baal.
And she begins to grin.
"I have no doubt that whatever my father is planning will come to fruition. He has a way of seeing these things through. But it is my greatest delight to see him squirm. You've done an adequate and acceptable job. And no matter what setbacks I may incur from him getting his way, you've laid the groundwork for me to make far more advances than I would have otherwise. You're free to go."
Kind of nods and backs out of the office and makes his way out.
I love her.
And as you make your way out of the prison facility, continue up the cliffside and crossing into the icy glaciers of Stygia, you begin to feel a general sense of chronological unease as you step over the ice and making your way across, over, and through the River Styx. You begin to approach the lair of Levistus, where you see him in conversation with your past self. And echoing from the glacier,
"I see you are quite the clever soul to have outwitted the majesty of the Prince of Traitors, the Lord of Deception."
Oh, here we go again.
"The Grand Betrayer. You are truly too wise for me and my machinations. You have discovered my grand plan, so now you will undiscover it."
And you make eye contact with this past version of yourself briefly as a look of confusion and overwhelming anxiety passes over your former eyes. You see the light leave him, the knowledge drain out of him, and his expression go blank, and then he explodes.
The other one walks out, stands exactly where that first one was standing. "Really? That's what you were doing to me for what? 114 laps?
More or less, with slight variations. I can tell that you are on your way out. And I wish you the best of luck on your fate. I would say that I would miss these conversations. But you and I both know that you shall be keeping me occupied for a very long time."
Yeah, the less I have to think about that, the better I'm going to sleep.
So you make your way out, you make your way across towards the line extending out of the courthouse in Phlegathos.
Do I have to wait in the line again?
Just take the express lane. Just walk with confidence.
That's what he's going to do. He's going to just kind of shift on over and then very specifically walk backwards so that people see the sight of him that looks like a devil.
That's awesome.
So that he looks like he belongs. He's just a weirdo.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to question you on that.
Sick.
So the bailiffs arranging the line allow this weird-looking devil-y thing to pass by just because he looks weird, but he looks like he belongs.
Mm-hmm.
You make your way through the portal to the other end of Phlegathos, and approaching the split where the two offices of Fierna and Belial are, waiting in the hallway are both of them. And Fierna says,
"Well, I do not know if this is appropriate time for this announcement, but I would like to come collect him on that favor that we have agreed upon."
"A favor for us, but also a favor for you."
"What would this favor be? And if you call it now, it does not follow me out, correct?"
"In several manners of speaking, the favor that I would like to call upon is for you to stop in your tracks right here and now and hand over what remains of that boulder. There is something interesting going on with that. And as your legal team, I would like the ability to take some time to properly analyze it. Make sure I understand what is going on with this agreement that the two of you have. And all I ask of you is that you stop in your tracks here and now, wait for us to do our processing, and then, once we have some more information, being able to move forward and act upon it."
He's looking at Fear and he kind of nods. Then he looks over at Belial.
"Make sure it has the approval stamp on the Church of Hell."
"How long will you take to examine this?"
"As long as it takes."
"You have to do proper due process anyways."
"We couldn't be acting in good legal conscience if we didn't thoroughly examine and investigate."
"Mm-hmm. You do not care about the proper due process. I know this. When I came to visit you, you were working on no cases. You were actively sending every case you could over to him. And you," he looks to Belial, "made a new deal with me to screw her over." I have a feeling that due process and fairness and justness are not exactly at the top of either of your lists of things to do. You're just afraid of Asmodeus.
"Is there a point to this pontificating?"
I love Southern Belfierna.
She's so good.
He pulls out the rock. He holds it up to Fierna to take a look at, but he's not necessarily giving her to take it away. "Look at these sigils and stamps. There is two people missing. I have not yet met this Azariel, nor has Asmodeus asked me for any particular deal yet."
And Belial's gonna kind of nervously glance at Fierna.
"I understand that he has something that he wants of me, but I have the power of a deal to make with him. I have not made a deal with him yet, and I am still considering what sort of deal I would make with him. I cannot allow you to delay me as you would seek to do here and keep me in this place forever and ever, I can only imagine."
"Well, then I cannot give my legal recourse on what you should do in leveraging this negotiation. And just remember that if you turn this favor down, the next one will in all likelihood require far greater sacrifice for you."
Can I try insight to see if they really are just going to try and keep me here or if they're actually going to try and figure something out?
Go ahead and roll insight. And I would say roll it with advantage.
Oh, thank God, because that was a nat one.
Dan could feel it in the force.
The other one is a 21.
Oh my God, dude.
I have a +9 to my insight now.
Feast the famine with these rolls.
But anyway, with a 21 insight, they have no intention of letting you go if you hand over that boulder and agree to this favor.
"How about this? You give me the legal recourse that you think I should give to Asmodeus. I will very heavily consider it. And I will say no for this. And whatever other agreement you deem necessary, I will do. As that was the terms of our initial agreement. I can also perhaps... Well, I don't suppose you care as much about information as others do.
I will not stop you from entering new information to the record. So if you have something to say, then say it.
I will say this much to you. I do not plan to leave here with Asmodeus winning the day as much as he would like. But I would also tell you this. He went missing recently, yes?
That is correct.
He went missing because you were winning the war.
What?
The war between you and the Abyss? You were winning, and he could not allow that.
Fascinating.
That's very interesting.
Now, you asked for my opinion on the legal recourse if you're dealing with Asmodeus.
Yes.
All I have to say is, you said no to my favor. So why in any of these hells would I do a favor for you? You're on your own.
All right, go fuck myself.
In as many words.
And she vanishes.
And Bilal just walks down the hall.
Oh, look at me. I'm so fancy with my funny accent. Oh, my pontification. I can use big words for you now. He makes his way out.
Fantastic. So making your way out of Phlegathos as you walk up the rocky terrain that then dips downward as you descend to an upper layer of Minaris, making your way through the cave system, making your way through the mines, making your way through the treachery of the minecart tracks. You are now back before Mammon.
Oh boy.
And you see Mammon sitting up there at his large desk in his office chair, and he wheels around slowly, petting a gold scarab beetle.
Welcome back. I can't say you look much better than before.
His eyes aren't even on Mammon. He is staring at the scarab.
Sparkles, still animate, chitters with discomfort.
And you can hear Mammon's, like, nails tapping and scraping across the gold.
I will say, it was a pleasure doing business with you.
I would do one more. One more deal.
Oh?
I did as you asked. Your little spy is in place with this pattern.
Well, that's true. And I did say, if you were to do me that little favor, we might be able to talk further.
I know of a vault on the material plane filled with gold and items of magic. A simple trade. I will get the key for you when I return, and you will take Sparkles with me.
Here's what we'll do. I will leave you one of my special soul coins. And when you reach this vault and step inside that vault, place the soul coin on the ground, and either I or one of my auditors will appear to count the value of this vault. And if it's over the value of this beautiful scarab here, then we have a deal.
He kind of tries to give Sparkles like a bit of a reassuring look. Very well.
Excellent.
And he takes out of one of his lapel pockets and flicks you a coin that as it spins and soars through the air, you can hear the wailing of some long-dead past spirit imbued in the metal.
Catches the coin and again drops into his bag.
So, as long as this deal is in place, I guess I won't melt down your precious friend here. I look forward to seeing that vault. Anyway, since I have you here, I was hoping to show you what your little espionage mission had want.
Very well.
He waves his hand in the air, and you see, like, a little ethereal projection screen appear out from the perspective of the rock, and you see little gooey arms and legs materialize out from that rock, and it's a little tiny cat imp oozed out.
Ugh.
And
this isn't the one that he got from Rat Spell, right?
Yes, it is. It's what imp sold him for pest control. And you see that little cat imp being like, and Mammon goes,
"All right, Rat Spell Mini. Try to subterfuge yourself into the inner vaults of these."
And you see from the perspective of this little cat, it starts to grow bigger and bigger and bigger until it pops and just leaks and just oozes into the very wall of the Vault of Diz.
Oh, this is uncomfortable. I knew these cats were the worst, but oh, this is the worst.
And you see perspective-wise, as that's happening, essentially from a very low upward-facing angle that gets higher and higher, you see from behind his pane of indestructible glass, Dispatter is continuing to test and analyze his 9 iron golf club before taking it back to his anvil, hammering out a couple more dents out of it. And the Iron Lord holds up his 9 iron as he looks over and makes eye contact with this cat.
He's never gonna get that shit out.
Imhotep, like, straight face, just...
Oh, thank you, sir. Once again, I say, it was a pleasure doing business with you.
May we never have to do it again.
And from the video feed, Dispatter turns and makes eye contact with you, Imhotep. And he says,
I really should have expected that you would resort to something so low and vile, Mammon.
Yeah, you really should have.
Which is why I come bearing a message. Oh, courier of mine, we have a deal.
What?
And he's gonna spin back around to you.
And some of the runes along your bandages begin to discolor as they shimmer to the message that Dispatter imbued on you to deliver to Mammon.
And then Mammon leans in, squints at it, and reads,
Dear Mammon, I am hereby writing to provide official notification regarding the termination of our partnership, previously entitled The Revitalization of the Tragic Kingdom, which was signed on
date that sounds impressive.
By the King of Covetousness, Mammon, and the Iron Lord Dispatter. Upon thorough consideration and careful examination of the contractual terms and performance, I have concluded that it is necessary to terminate said partnership following the terms specified in Section X of our previous agreement. The termination of this contract will be effective immediately for the following reasons. Repeated attempts at theft and infiltration of the Soul Coin coffers by Mammon, which reside in territory belonging to Dispatter, unwillingness to abide by the agreed upon distribution of infernal territory formerly owned by Dispatter, but currently residing territory owned by Mammon.
And it goes on like that for a long time.
Is it done yet?
That shit is wordy. No, it's not done yet.
Any outstanding payments, if applicable, are expected to be settled, and all assets or property belonging to the dispatcher are to be returned upon termination of this courier.
It was that, well, I'm sorry, the what?
This message will self-destruct.
What?
Oh shit, not this again!
And the runes upon your wing explode, dealing 100 force damage.
Wait, fuck, wait. Oh,
Yes! Okay. When he hears the words self-destruct, he's immediately gonna cast a death ward on himself.
Oh, that works too.
Oh, hey!
Cool, this was the reason that I gave you the phase shift, but death ward will work too.
I want to keep that shift for when I have to run through a furnace.
Very clever.
That's fair.
And the explosive force knocks back Mammon.
Heels up, ass up, knocked over backwards. His beautiful mahogany desk is exploded and splintered across the room. amidst the shrapnel and smoke, just his little heels up in the air.
As always, it has never been a pleasure doing business with you, Mammon.
Do we speak again, Diz?
And the message cuts out.
Imhotep, like, limps, putting his arm back in its socket.
Wow, you're pretty sturdy.
Oh, I think I've earned a little bit of help, if possible. Remember, the term was that all that shit that he said was at the termination of the courier, who has not been terminated, but is very, very close.
You want my help?
I just want a little bit of healing, so I don't have to waste more spell slots on it.
Who's Doss?
As he's still just, like, back flat on the ground.
Bring him a cup of water.
Yes, my lord.
And Imhotep gained one cup of water's worth of healing.
So it is like, you know, the little paper cone cups that hold like an ounce of water. They eat shit.
Absolutely.
That's what Uzdas brings him. And he takes the cup, opens up a water skin, dumps the cup of water in, looks at Mammon, and casts Create Destroy Water and fills it up to 10 gallons.
Hey!
Hey!
Starts drinking it and limps out.
Happy I could help. Safe travels.
Go ahead and regain 1 HP.
Oh boy, I'm at 2.
Oh, sweet.
And making your way out of the rocky caverns of Minaris to the acid swamp of Diz, you see another parade of soldiers and Hellfire engines making their way out of the Tragic Kingdom up towards Avernus. And you have fulfilled your bargain with Dizpatter. You are free to continue moving on.
Yeah, I don't want to stop in on him. Don't necessarily think he wants to see me.
Probably a wise move.
So he's just going to kind of follow with the parade.
So with that, you have made it all the way back to Avernus. And the chaos and the bloodshed of the battle around you rings out immediately as you see the rocky, war-torn wasteland of Avernus. Explosions going off around you, devils and demons fighting in the sky above you and in the ground and everywhere surrounding you. There is a small path directly forward away from the bulk of this large incursion through an abyssal tear that you've got to book your way out through. So going into turn-based mode, I will need you to first make a dexterity saving throw. DC for this is going to be 16.
21.
With a 21, as you are running through the battlefield, an infernal engine that is soul-powered that gets nicked the wrong way, as you've seen what has happened with the Clockwork Dragon, begins to glow, ignite, and get ready to combust, and some nearby Irines shoot it and pelt it with ice arrows in order to cool it down and keep it stable. And you dive out of the way, narrowly avoiding those ice arrows as these blinding flashes of light go off around you to try to quell that damage and destruction. So now it is your turn. You've got about a 90-foot sprint to be able to get from this section of the battlefield to the next one.
I guess the only thing I can do is do a dash action and sprint 60.
Okay, so I will take an environmental turn. So similarly, DC 16 dexterity save.
19 plus a 3.
Heck yeah, dude.
All right, so with that 22, as some more of these abyssal forces are spilling out from the tear, a demon of pure shadow whisks by you, reaches out to slash at this unstable hellfire engine that you just avoided the explosion of, and you are right in the way of its beeline towards you. You're able to jump out of the way, avoid the slash as it misses you, dovetailing directly towards this hellfire engine. And back around to you.
So I'm going to move my 30 to get out, to get clear from here.
Okay. That will count as your movement. You will still have action and bonus action as you make it towards a blood-soaked stretch of the battlefield near an archway with a portal that shimmers in multiple directions. It seems to extend in 3D space, going up and down. And floating above that archway is the Archdevil Zariel. I will turn this over to Jordan to do any flavor here, as you are the length of one battlefield away from her.
All right, so you see Zariel up ahead in the middle of a raged fight. She is swinging swords. She's throwing spears. You see these giant black feathered wings that are constantly in embers, sending sparks across the battlefield as she soars above it, shouting commands at her legions.
You pathetic worms! We'll make no progress at this rate!
She has not yet noticed your presence, and you are about 100 feet away from her.
Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to cast False Life.
Ooh.
At 5th level with my ring. It's at 6th level. So False Life is 1d4 plus 4 temporary hit points, plus an additional 5 for every level that you upcast.
Wow.
That's an additional 30, so I'm going to gain 37 temporary hit points. And so he kind of gets to this part of the battlefield and says, oh, that's a lot. Okay. takes his water and holds it, starts chanting, and the runes light up. And, like, he was kind of limping before, but he's now kind of forcing, you know, necrotic energy to flow through him, and the runes, like I say, light up and are kind of strengthening him to keep moving.
As you use that power and that magic, and you light up your runes with your cleric powers, you see Zariel turn mid-flight and stare fiery daggers right at you.
I pick the boulder up, point at it, and give a very awkward smile.
And off in the distance, you just hear... And we'll wait for Zariel's turn.
All right, so I will have you make another dexterity saving throw. This one will be a DC 18.
Oh, God, why do you hate me, Dan? That is a nat 20, though.
As Zariel lets out this scream, there is a rumble in the ground beneath you, and these weird scorpion horse-type beings are crawling and clambering over an unstable hellfire engine. There is some of the ground begins to move and burst forth from underneath it, and these shadowy vines wrap their way around it, restraining all of them as they begin to glow and burst out with an enormous, intense shockwave. And that shockwave, the timing of it happens to be exactly as you are casting False Life. So your runes, as they empower and embolden you, basically completely muffles the explosive, thunderous damage that you would have taken. All right, Zariel.
Seeing someone on her battlefield cast cleric divine magic fills her with a different re-imbued rage, and she starts beelining it straight towards you, flaming wings emblazoned. And once she finally gets to you, she stops down on the ground in front of you and stares.
You, though you have been baptized in the ichor of hell, I still smell the stink of divinity upon you. What have your gods done for you, cleric, that have allowed you into a place as desolate as this? Why haven't your gods ripped you from this place?
You know, I've thought about that myself, too. I have to speak a little bit louder because we're on, you know, a battlefield.
And she takes her wing and she swoops it over you, and you are teleported away.
So let me ask you this. If your gods allowed you to fall to a place like this, why do Do you still have some faith in them? They have obviously condemned you.
When I came here, I believed, as you did, that I was forsaken by those who I have exalted all my life. I believe that I came here to protect others, to know what it is like to be here, and that I may properly guide souls away from this place. There is one who I would wish to see kept from the clutches of Asmodeus, and I believe that that is why I came. It was a test of faith, and so willing, he holds the rock up, I will prove my faith.
I was a fool like you once. I believed in the divine and their ultimate plan, but I also believed in the salvation of people, and where it got me was dying on the battlefield of Avernus, forgotten about those who I had praised. And you think you're gonna serve some great purpose here? To save that soul? Because of what your gods have led you to believe? Seeing you hold that boulder, it's not your gods that are going to be your salvation. You say that your friend would be damned to Asmodeus, but just like me, it looks like your salvation is going to be Asmodeus.
You believe that I am forsaken, why I am here, and yet he kind of flexes, like with the runes still glowing with the false life. You recognized their power in your realm. You recognized that they are still with me. You may be forsaken. You may have accepted the form that you take, and he kind of looks to himself. I did not look like this when I came, and it is the product of forcing my way through here, but he grabs his water. I have not forsaken them. They have not forsaken me.
And as she looks at you, the rage blazes in her eyes.
He is just going to stare into hers, and he's going to thaumaturgy his eyes red.
You may believe that. I think it's all a disgusting lie, and you are now a horrendous amalgam. But you are serving a greater mission here today. You have brought that, and that, and Asmodeus are the key to getting what I want. I want an end to this bloodshed. I want an end to this suffering. And you being here today, it means we are finally on that path. Give me your stone, and I will leave my mark. And though you do not believe it, Asmodeus will bring peace.
He, still holding onto his vial of water, offers the boulder up to her. I keep calling it a boulder. It is just a rock at this point.
It's just a rock.
I might not agree with his ultimate goal, but this here today marks a beginning to the end of the bloodshed.
You know what? I gave a bunch of people information about that whole thing. I don't think I'm going to tell this to Zario. That might not be a good idea.
She's a little intense.
A little bit.
And a spear emblazoned with wings forms on the rock.
Here, cleric. Let's hope this was all worth it.
And Zariel vanishes as you take what was once an enormously oppressive boulder that has now reduced down into a different shape. It crumbles away, revealing a key. Etched into it are the insignias of each of the Devil Lords that you have collected along the way. And as you sit here in this citadel that Zariel has whisked you away to, a portal sits before you that undulates with extra-dimensional energy that slowly starts to shape itself to match the energy being radiated from the key. And as you feel it begin to beckon you forward, Asmodeus appears with a grin on his face as he holds out his hands and says,
I knew there was something unique about you. After millennia, you are the first to have succeeded. Your freedom is at hand. I believe when you first appeared, we had a deal. I should like to finalize that deal for you. Here and now, with everything that you've learned, now that you see that my way is the superior way to each of these other options you've seen, you can, in good faith, make a deal with the devil.
And a contract appears before you.
I shall begin by offering you the same terms as when we started. You complete this trial. You bring me the soul of your friend who should have been here in your stead. And you are free to go as I will turn you back to life. Or whatever your approximation of life was before you passed and came here. Do we have a deal?
Does the key have a loop enough that he can, like, spin it on his finger?
Yes, there is a pretty sizable loop.
So he has it spinning on his finger as he's looking over the contract. He's definitely more focused on spinning the key. And what he's specifically doing with it is he is spinning it so that it looks like it could fly off of his finger at any moment, and that it is precariously close to this swirling portal. And he wants to see what Asmodeus does.
He waves his hand, and in it, a ruby appears.
This is the last missing piece of the puzzle you hold in your hands. You'll find that without my touch, it doesn't quite have the power it needs.
Why is this so important to you?
Is it not more important to you?
Oh, it is incredibly important to me, but I am but a lowly mortal. You are the king of the hells, and yet here you are almost giddy as a child to see me win this trial of yours. What is in this for you?
What is in it for me is a step forward in this eternal war that I wage. Your success proves my theory correct in the prevailing dominance of order over chaos. Your return to the material plane will help your friends win out on this skirmish with the abyssal forces up top. And a victory up there is a victory down here.
Can I insight to see if there's something he's not telling me?
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be a DC 24 insight check.
Oh, it's so important. It's so important.
I'm out of inspiration, huh? And there was a nat 1.
With a nat 1, the key disappears from your hands and into Asmodeus's. The key in one hand, the ruby in the other.
I have not gotten in your way once this entire journey that you've been on. What benefit would it be to me to stop you now, when you are so close to proving my theory correct, to returning to your battlefield, to helping your friends? Is it not enough that I prove myself correct, that my postulations are superior? It is not even postulations you don't believe in. You've gone up against the forces of chaos time and again. You still hold that there is a grand design to all of this. You wouldn't believe in your divinities if you didn't. You know that my order is superior to the chaos of the abyss. And this shall send a message throughout the rest of the hells to bolster my forces so that we may take a better stand to carve out more territory of the abyss that we can reclaim and to come one step closer to closing the loop on this endless war.
When I began this lap, you told me that you were pulled away because you were already winning. How does this help your situation? Your order, as you say, is obviously the more powerful of the choices, which is why you were winning. You truly believe that simply somebody walking through a portal is going to make them agree that they should not have to pull you away the next time that you find yourself winning.
You see him get a little more tense as he says,
"There is a reason that I cannot make this choice. If you, a mortal, an outside man, can overcome all of this chaos and adversity, if you're the one to tip the scales, then the celestial forces will not intervene. I have too much attention on myself. That is why I want you to succeed on this, to spread this message, to bolster my forces."
Go ahead and make another insight roll. DC is still 24.
That is an 18.
There is a logic to what he's saying, and it doesn't contradict what you know. There is still something that he's not telling you, but he's not lying.
He looks the contract over one more time and he says, "I understand why you wish to have the soul of Dracula returned to you. But why is Eric so important?"
"It's primarily a matter of principle. I like to see things the way they are supposed to be. And this helps set the ledger correct. Do we have a deal? Or are my terms unfavorable to you? I do not believe they are unfair to you."
He kind of puts his finger up. Yeah, he's gonna 1 minute to the fucking devil.
Yeah, read your contract, read your contract.
He's going to look it over one more time.
So the terms are that you complete the Boulder Trial,
check,
that you defeat Dracula,
mm-hmm,
that you ensure that the soul of the Phantom goes to him where it is supposed to, and in exchange, you are brought back to life. By mechanically technical terms, you'll still be undead, you'll still be mummy and everything, but...
Yeah, I'll be brought back to the material plane.
As much as you were alive before you died.
In your undeath.
May I see that key one more time?
I see no reason why not. After all, assuming that we've come to an agreement, you are about to use this to gain your freedom.
And the key is once again in your hand.
Can I do an arcana check on it?
Same DC.
Okay.
You got this.
My arcana's not quite as good, but I have the Descent into Avernus dice and my Cthulhu dice tower. Let's see what happens. That's a 25.
So with that 25 on that DC 24 check, this key does go to this arcane lock. Once you make the deal and once it is complete and once you use it, it will not unlock the gate. It will lock the gate.
He spins the key, and then he puts it into his bag.
God, the moxie on this kid.
This key will not help me escape.
I never said that the key is what will get you out.
No.
My deal is what will get you out.
Why do you want this key so badly? What are you trying to keep out? Are you trying to lock the abyss out of your realm?
I see you're a bit more insightful than I gave you credit for.
I have been around for 4,000 years. Long soon the moon rolling in a grave.
That key is not to keep the abyss out. It's to keep the inferno in.
How do you mean?
I don't think you will be in disagreement with me that you will enjoy the effects of that key as much as I will. You see the way that each of the other Devil Lords behave, save for perhaps the exception of Zari.
None of them seem to take our plight as seriously as I. You have acquired their signature and their essence. And with a little bit of extra help from me, you will be able to detain each of them here in the house indefinitely. They will be unable to leave, and thus they will be unable to ignore the problem at their footsteps. You do this for me, you take down Dracula, who you are going to do anyway. He is a common enemy after all. And you ensure that the Phantom gets his just reward, and I shall return to the material plane. That is the deal. Do you accept my terms?
You are correct. Dracula is a mutual enemy, something that we both wish to see defeated. But I believe there is good in Eric. Granted, I haven't technically seen the entire last arc. Good lord, that opinion might change. But
is that belief enough to stake your entire return on?
I don't want to do this. So I want to make him squirm a little bit.
If there is something you find unfavorable about this deal, we can adjust our terms. In fact, I will sweeten the deal for you. The moment that you leave the Nine Hells, you will once again be under the thumb of your abyssal patron. Your presence here in Hells has shielded you from it for quite some time, and it has offered you the illusion of Hell. But make no mistake, its intentions are nefarious, and it plans to use you for it. I can add to our agreements that not only shall I return you to the material plane, but I shall return you to the material plane completely severed of all ties to the Cat of Orange.
Love this game.
You are offering me quite a bit, but from what I understand, you gain far more out of this.
You would not think so if you understood the true danger that your abyssal patron intends. All that you know is that it is an unknowable entity that does not exist in any tangible form in your world, but seeks to exist and is reaching out to you through your knowledge of it. Satisfaction brought the cat back, after all. What it intends is a great replacement. In order for it to exist, it will take the form of other things, and it will not be content staying in one shape. As its knowledge spreads, it will overtake and overwrite everything. Everywhere you look, this entity will become inescapable. The food that you consume will have the essence of this thing. The clothing that you wear will have the essence of this thing. The utensils that you use, your appliances, your everyday life, will be inextricable from that fucking orange cat.
It'll be so bad, they will appear on the shores of France for 2 decades without anybody knowing why.
Yes, save us, Imhotep!
Monuments to this entity will float above in grand parades.
Experiences and shrines to your amusement. This is so fucking dumb.
They will even cast the same actor that they cast in everything to play him.
He'll be played by Christopher Pratt, you.
No!
All right, so stupid joke over, but...
Yeah, no, I got what you're getting at.
It will spread through the knowledge. The satisfaction will bring it back, and the only thing that can kill it is your curiosity. And I can guarantee that that curiosity will never be sated, and it will never exist.
I will appreciate that. But I have one important question about that. That does not mean you will be replacing with infernal influences, does it?
On my word to these terms, without your express consent, I will not be replacing your patronage. I will simply be erasing it. Should you want additional help from me, that can be arranged.
One last thing. The Phantom. I believe he can learn. I would amend that specific part of the agreement. Should I fail to save the soul of the Phantom of the Opera for whatever God wishes to claim it, then he is yours. But that I will try to save him from himself.
And this is a point on which you will not budge.
This is a point on which I will not budge.
Given his current trajectory, he is on track to be mine anyway. You were simply a bit of extra insurance. Let your friend's soul go where it will. You have no sway in it anymore.
And that line of the contract erases itself.
Heck yeah.
Now, do we have a deal?
Yeah, I think that's about all I'm going to be able to pull out of him.
Could he ask for some cool stuff, maybe?
A souvenir. Something to remind myself, aside from, looks at himself, the obvious, of my time here. Something that could potentially help me defeat Dracula.
You have come this far, negotiated this hard, survived treachery after treachery, gotten to the finish line just to stake it all on sentimental trinkets.
I negotiated this hard, fought this long, survived this well. For an artifact of power, I'm being facetious.
If the miser has rubbed off on you, fine. I'll give you something of value.
He waves his hand, and a little bit of a slightly different energy courses over the key.
When that has been put to use, you will find it will take on a more helpful shape.
So mechanically, what just happened? Once you make the agreement and use the key, it will shapeshift into a legendary +2 scimitar called the Hellraiser. What it will do, it will give you a +2 bonus to attack and damage rolls. You can use your spellcasting modifier instead of strength or dexterity, so it basically has the shillelagh effect on it kind of permanently. When you hit an undead creature with it, it deals an additional d8 of force damage.
Jesus.
And on a critical hit, it will deal an additional 2d8 force damage. And a creature of your choice within 30 feet gains that much in temp HP. As well as a one-and-done single-use charge of the Disintegrate spell.
Oh my god.
It's a legendary weapon for a reason.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that'll do it. That'll be good.
And then just some fun flavor text from that. A gift from Asmodeus and a symbol of the power gained from completion of the Boulder Trial. A small ruby gemstone in the shape of a skull is and encrusted with the sigils of the 9 Devil Lords is fashioned into the hilt of the weapon, with the blade extending from the skull's open mouth. The blade exudes a dark, corrupting energy, and objects reflected in the blade are distorted to show an emphasis on their worst qualities.
Damn. Yeah, fuck, bro. I'll sign that.
That's so cool, dude.
Imhotep kind of looks to Asmodeus, nods, and signs on the dotted line.
And an enormous grin creeps over his face as the contract disappears from your hands, and he says,
as a being of my word, first and foremost, let's tackle the issue of your abyssal patron. I shall remove any lingering essence or traces from you. I will need you to hand over a totem of its power.
Oh, I reach into the bag and I pull out the tiger poster.
The tiger poster.
And the tiger poster.
He takes the tiger poster, and he pulls a thread of thought out from your mind and imbues it with the tiger poster that shimmers and wavers with this eldritch energy. And he says,
I have taken the forbidden knowledge from you, and I will send it somewhere else to its detriment.
And he sends the tiger poster hurtling through the portal as it hones in on the abyssal counterpart to you and lands in the possession of Karis as he is struck down by you.
Yo!
Wow.
Yo!
Wow, what a callback.
Imhotep suddenly sees before him a bizarre-looking poster of what appears to be a tiger.
What's this poster doing here? And why do I feel compelled to take it?
It is
a tiger. They are not that fascinating. And yet...
And you feel a weight lifted from you as the full energy of your cleric class refills what was taken by your warlock patron. And you are completely separated from the Cat of Orange.
Yo!
I'm gonna miss making dumb Garfield references in the game, but I think this is just where Imhotep should go.
You saved the world. You saved the world from Garfield.
And then Asmodeus places the ruby in the loop of the key. It locks into place and energy bursts out from it that draws itself towards a keyhole that forms in this portal. And will you do the honors?
So Imhotep takes the key, takes a very deep breath, and rolls his shoulders, adjusting to feeling a little bit lighter without the cap. Looks over to Asmodeus one last time and he says, I'd say it's been a pleasure, but not really. And I hope I never see any of you again. Put the key in the door and turn.
And as you do, Asmodeus lights up and says,
oh, trust me, the pleasure is all mine.
And you feel a rumble and the sound of heavy chains breaking as the ruby on this key lights up. And as surrounding Asmodeus, a series of chains appear around him.
You fucking lied to me.
Shatter, and he levitates up, free of their grasp.
Fucking...
As you hear nine distinct thuds.
Oh,
and
I just got them to sign his escape plan.
Yes, you did. I am still the king of my lord. I will still return to the material plane. I believe I owe you an explanation.
And the key removes itself from the portal and begins to shimmer and shapeshift before taking the form of your Hellraiser, unraveling into a contract as the ruby expunges the name Asmodeus and replaces it with the names of the nine other Devil Lords whose signature and essence you have gathered.
In my stint in the Celestial Plane, they made the mistake of putting my original contract, condemning me to the hells within arm's reach. Reshaping me into a bowl was trivial. And now, you get to see them suffer. You've exchanged the one for the nine. The balance of the scales remains unaltered. And now I may come and go from the hells as I please, as all of them take my place, trapped here, forced, as I have said, to focus on the immediate problem at their doorsteps.
Oh, so good! It's so bad, but it's so good!
to fend for it. I advise you to watch your step, because you've just made 9 very powerful enemies. Enjoy your return to the material plane. I know I will enjoy mine.
Oh!
And Imhotep, you find yourself suddenly floating in an astral sea.
In a bag.
In a bag of holding.
Yo!
We are the outcasts, the misfits, you might say. We deal with the nightmares that you run away from every single day. We know the world is a gruesome little place, but us outsiders, we've developed quite a taste for the grisly and morbid, the ghastly and the horrid. We know it's awful, dreadful, but we like it. Just another haunted night, shrouded with unearthly fright. So when you're oh so terrified, you know who to call. The world is falling apart, we'll never take it to heart. So monsters and creatures and spirits and specters and all, let's all have a ball.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of D&D Dark, created, hosted, and edited by myself, Danger Dan Jers, with artwork by Jordan Nelson. Special thanks to our patrons, including Dire Beast, Grey Fox, Harley Q135, A Skewed One, and Mo. If you want to join our cult and hear your name entered into the pool of credit shoutouts, as well as get access to our fan Discord, bonus mini campaigns, and one shots, then head on over to our Patreon and sign up for just $5 a month. If you want to help us out in other ways, spread the word to your friends and family, or leave us a review at ratethispodcast.com/dndark. D&D Dark's cast this episode is Jordan Nelson as the Archdevils Mephistopheles, Balzabul, Belial, Mammon, and Zariel, and Daniel Cruz as Imhotep, the Mummy. Our theme song and outro is Let's All Have a Ball by Ryan White Maloney and Tony Carboni, recorded at True North Studios, Las Vegas. Additional music this week was provided by Adventurers Music Pack and Anton Kiptilly. Listen to new episodes of D&D Dark Wednesdays, anywhere you find podcasts.
But you and I both know that you shall be keeping me occupied for a very long time.
Yeah, the less I have to think about that, the better I'm going to sleep.
Do you go to sleep in front of him?
What?
It sounded to me like you said, I'm going to sleep.
Oh!
No. Let me rephrase. I said, the less I think about that, the easier I'll be able to sleep.
Oh, okay, I heard you say, the less I think about that, I'll just go to sleep.
No.
Good night.
No. The less I think about that, the easier I'll be able to sleep.
I don't understand this strategy of yours. You fall asleep in my presence? I am confused.
I'm just going to go.
Perhaps this is for the best.
And welcome to D&D Dark Presents Muppet Alien. I am your host and game mother, Daniel Cruz.
It's time to light the light.
Captain Miller, wait for me!
There's no way. It's been 75 years.
There is a way, because that's how long this ship has been missing, according to Weyland-Yutani records.
Check the radar to see what it is that Davis was looking for, and to make sure that it happens. Hi-ya!
You push the button, you hear the rumble of the elevator shaft from the elevator rising. When the door opens, you can see that there has been a firefight in here.
Do we want to take the stairs?
So as long as you didn't roll over a 6, you guys managed to keep it together. Just barely.
So hopefully we're looking for Muppet reviews.
Well, if you're to be making comments like that, I'm going to have to charge you.
You charge me? We are on a mission by Weyland-Yutani. You can't charge me. I'm the one charging you.
Listen. Semantics, all right?
All right. I've got one question for all of you here. What is happening?
D&D Dark presents Muppet Alien, premiering October 16th, 2024, only on patreon.com/dndarkpodcast.
It's time to meet.